and went for a big spike or something, and felt a big spike, and the back's very sore. So if you see me leaning on the pulpit, it's because I'm not quite there. I said to the pastor tonight, I said, between you and me, we might come up with a voice. He's got the body, I might have the voice. So I learned something, a very valuable lesson today as well. Never suggest to the pastor that you might be able to preach for him. Sympathy is good, but just wait till after the event. This morning I was listening to the preaching, and I just felt the Lord just hit me with a thought that was totally irrelevant to the message. And I thought, and I said to Beck, I said, I think I've got a message. And she said, you should volunteer. And I thought, that'll be all right, you know, he's fine, he's a soldier, he'll just tough it out. And so on the way out this morning, very last thing I said on the way out, I said, oh, you got a message, are you preaching tonight? And he said, why, you got a message, have you? And I said, well, yeah, I think so. And he said, oh, okay, that'll be, if I need you, I'll call. I thought, oh, beauty, he didn't say yes then, so he probably means that he'll be right. And after this morning's effort, I thought, well, the Lord's brought him good, so I've got nothing to worry. It was a brave volunteering effort. So anyway, I rang Mum at about 2 o'clock, I think it was, and I said, what's happening? Is Dad preaching tonight, or am I filling in? And she says, oh, he's asleep at the moment. I'm not sure. I'll have to find out. So come 3 o'clock, I thought, well, volleyball's on, so I'm going to go play volleyball. And we finished playing about 4:30, and I had 6 missed calls on my mobile. I want to go back in the car. And I thought to myself, this doesn't look good. So I rang back and I said, what's happening? She said, oh, yeah, your dad rang and asked if you could preach, and I said you could. And I said, thank you very much. Thank you very much. But, well, look, if something good comes out of the night, it's because the Lord's in it, not because of me. And if you feel the message isn't adequate for your needs, well, you've come to the wrong place tonight. Okay. We're going to start tonight. We're going to read a couple passages. And we're going to start reading, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read the first 15 verses. And then I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Daniel as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We just turn back in the Old Testament now to Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. I'm going to just read a couple of verses starting in verse 25. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. I had a couple titles for tonight's message, and don't be offended by this title, but the title is, How Much Do You Weigh? How much do you weigh? And I'm talking spiritually, okay? I'm not talking about physically, because God's made you how you are. But spiritually, how much do you weigh? We're going to pray first, and then we're going to come and have a few thoughts from the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to come and to preach, Father. And Lord, I pray you might just be with me and help me, Lord, to say those things, Lord, that would be a blessing, Lord, to others. Pray, Lord, that you challenge my own heart, Lord, and Lord, if there be any glory, Lord, may it all go to you. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd speak to each of us, encourage us, Lord, and just be with me, Lord, as I try to bring the word, Lord. We ask this in Lord Jesus' name. Amen. When I said, how much do you weigh? If you look in the verse in Daniel, it says, are found wanting. Put in the balances and found wanting. I wonder tonight if all of our, everything that we've done was to be put in a set of balances. What side of the balance would we be on? Would we be on the, in Corinthians, the gold, silver, precious stones, or would we have the wood, hay and the stubble? You know, one day we're going to all give account what we've done. And we need to make sure that the things that we do, that they're good works, not things done in the flesh. Tonight I just want to look at a couple of points in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if we can go back to there. I don't intend to go for too long tonight, only because I don't think I can. So, but we'll try and be short and to the point, and we'll try and learn something. When I preach, I'm preaching to myself. I'm not preaching as if I've learnt everything. I'm a novice, and there's still a lot I need to learn. So everything that I'm preaching tonight is preaching to myself. So don't take it personally, but if it fits, take it personally. First point I want to look at tonight in 1 Corinthians is that every one of us is laying a foundation. Every one of us is laying a foundation. In verse 10, Apostle Paul speaking says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Every one of us is building a foundation. And tonight, whether you're saved or unsaved, you are building a foundation for the rest of your life. And we need to know what we're building so that it counts for eternity. I just want to look in Matthew chapter 7, if you will. Matthew chapter 7, a very famous part of the scripture. Everyone's probably heard this. Verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I believe we have a picture here of two people. We have a picture of a saved person and an unsaved person. The reason why I believe that is because it says in the first verse, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Now, therefore is the following on of the previous verses. And it talks about, in just the previous verse, it talks about people that are coming to the Lord one day and saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do these wonderful things in your name? We prophesied, we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And the Lord Jesus says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I believe that what he's saying here is a foolish person, or someone who is unsaved, no matter what they do in life, it's not going to count for anything. Now, you can be a good moral person as an unsaved person, and you can probably make some Christians look pretty ordinary. But if you haven't got the Lord Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of your life, the starting block of your foundation, then none of it counts for anything. The Lord says one day he'll say to you, I never knew you. I never knew you. And it's a sobering thought, and one that we need to look at our own lives. And the Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves, see whether you be in the faith. We could be doing a whole lot of stuff that we think is, oh, this is great, you know, I'm doing it for the church, I'm doing it for God. Hey, look, unless you've got the cornerstone right, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, then none of that counts for anything. It doesn't count for anything. And that is the second point. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Lord Jesus, he is the starting place. He is the starting place. First of all, you need to recognize that you're a sinner. You're lost, going to hell one day. But the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, putting your faith and trust in him for what he's done for you, so that you can become a Christian. Once you do that, then you've started becoming a wise man. A wise man. Now, I believe that verse there, although it's talking about the unsaved and the saved, the wise and the foolish, I believe a Christian can still be very foolish. And that's evidenced in the verses preceding this one, whereas some will have all their works burned and they've done some foolish things. But the Lord Jesus, he is the starting place. He is the starting place. And we need to follow after him because he set the example for us. You know, not every work we do is necessarily gold, silver, or precious stones. If you look in verse 12, it says, now if any man build upon these foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. It's all in the same verse there. It's quite possible that something that we are doing that we think may be right and to everyone else looks right could still be wood, hay and stubble. And I believe the things that would come into that category are things done in the flesh. Things that we do in the flesh. Or maybe we went out on a leap of faith and said, well, we're going to go start this church and do a great work for God. But hey, if God hasn't called you, then that work is wood, hay and stubble. Because we're doing it in our own flesh. We might think that we're doing it for the glory of God. And hey, some people may even get saved with that. Because of it. Hey, that's not... God can still use his word. He'll honour his word. But what I believe is that that will not be attributed to us one day as gold, silver and precious stones because we've gone out and done in the flesh. I mean, unsaved people have led other people to the Lord. Just have a look in the Old Testament. There was a donkey. And he was able to be used by the Lord. And some of us sometimes feel like donkeys. But... Now, it's important to recognise the fact that if we're not doing it for the Lord, then who are we doing it for? And I believe quite often we're doing things, and I'm talking to myself now, because we want to look good in front of other people. And our heart is not in it. We're doing it because, hey, that's the done thing to do. We go to church, we sing, we give money, put that money in the offering, and everyone says, oh, look at that great Christian. No, he's so great. But they're works of the flesh, if they're not done for the glory of God and with the help of the Spirit of God. And we need to be careful that our lives aren't just a fake. Because I believe one day that will be made manifest. If we look in verse 13, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, I believe that everyone is going to see one day what our lives were really all about. I believe they're going to see what it's all about. And in verse 5 of chapter 4, it says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." I believe one day that our lives are going to be put, as it were, to the test to see what sort it was. And I believe everyone's going to see it. Because you might say to me, well, it might be just a closed hearing, you know. The Lord sits down with you in a room and just goes through everything with you, and then you come out and then nothing. No one ever know what happens between you and the Lord. Well, and the Bible says there's going to be weeping one day, and there's going to be people that are ashamed one day. And I wonder if it's because when our works go to the flame, everybody sees what we're really made of. And the sort of people that we are, people one day look at that and go, well, right now we'll say, oh, he's a wonderful Christian. Look what he's doing for the Lord. But if we were to examine ourselves, and if people could see us as we really are, I wonder whether they'd have the same opinion. Now, it's all very well to have the praise of men, but I tell you what, I'd rather have the praise of the Lord. Because the praise of men is determined on our performance. And if we're doing stuff, then people will applaud us. But how about the person? And I've read stories of little old ladies in bed and bedridden, and all they could do was pray. And no one ever saw the work that they did for the Lord. I believe that those people, they're going to have great reward in heaven. You have these people up here, the great big flashy preachers, you know, drive around great cars and winning hundreds to the Lord. Hey, look, if they're doing that all in the flesh, they're not going to have anything to show for it anyway. You know, it's important for us to realise that, hey, okay, we're living our lives now for eternity, but we need to live lives now like so that we're living it as if everybody knew what was going to happen at the end of it, if you know what I'm saying. Because the Bible says that one day all our works will be revealed, all the secret things, all the hidden things. The Bible says it's going to put the fire up, and everyone's going to see what we're really made of. And it's important that we get that foundation of good works for the Lord Jesus Christ, not for ourselves. You know, there's a lot of things, and you might say, well, what are good things that we can do? What are good works? And some people have the idea that, you know, it's only the pastor or someone prominent in the church who's going out door knocking, soul winning, and seeing people saved and doing great things for God. They're the ones going to have all the rewards and the things in heaven one day. I don't believe so. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, we're just going to read a couple of verses here, starting in verse 36. It says, "And he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." We think we've got this idea in our heads that, hey, it's the big things that count for the Lord. But you know, the big things that we do are all made up of a whole heap of little things. And it's the little things that are really important. You know, he says here, if you're giving a cup of a water to a child, to children in the Lord's name, he says that's important. That's important. You know, I mean, we all saw what happened last Sunday, and I commend the ladies for their work in the kitchen and for their serving. Now, I believe that is a precious stone. The Lord looks at that and he says, hey, well done for what you've done. Why? Well, because all the unsaved people here felt relaxed. They all felt like, hey, here's some people that, hey, they've got something in them. They're serving us and they don't even know us. That's the cup of water that you've given in the Lord's name. And that's a precious stone. Don't let anyone say, oh, well, that's nothing. That doesn't mean anything. Yes, it does. That means something. You know, nothing is little in God's sight. Now, he that is faithful in little things is faithful in the big things. If you're not faithful in little things, don't expect to get big rewards for the big things. Because most likely those big things you do are going to be in the flesh. You have to be faithful in little things first. It's progression. You know, you crawl before you walk and run and all those things. You've got to start off small. You've got to start off small. Don't think that you're going to be a big-time preacher the first time you step up and preach, or the first time you go street witnessing, you're going to see 100 people saved or anything like that. Hey, you've got to be faithful. You've got to start off with the small things. You've got to be faithful in those. I wonder, just getting back to that point I made before, if our lives were an open book for everyone to read, would we be ashamed? I mean, I'm here to tell you right now, the stuff that if people were to read me, I'll be ashamed of. You say, oh, how could you be? Quite easily. Every one of us sins. Every one of us just does stuff in the flesh. You know, there's stuff I would be ashamed of. Now, I don't say that to say, oh, look at me, I'm proclaiming what my goodness is. No, not at all. I'm saying that to my shame. I should be working hard at those things and doing them for the Lord. And I believe we should examine ourselves, look in our hearts and say, what's really in my heart? What's it really all about? Am I in it for God's glory? Or are you in it for the glory of men, praise of men that make me feel good? No, we should be in it for God's glory. And he's alone. You know, how much of our lives, if we were to stick them in those balances, would count for eternity? How much do our good works weigh against our bad works? Things that are wood, hay and stubble. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 28. It says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I wonder how many of us tonight, if the Lord Jesus was to come tonight, how many of us would be ashamed? Ashamed because we knew that in the not too distant future, I'm not sure where exactly where the judgment comes in the whole scheme of things. But we knew that our life was going to go on show for everybody to see. I wonder how ashamed we would be. How much more should we be ashamed because of what, for the Lord Jesus, of our testimony to him, for what he's done for us? I mean, it's one thing to be ashamed before all you people here, or for any of us to be ashamed. But sometimes our shame becomes only because our pride's been hurt. And we're only concerned about our reputation. But, you know, we don't really think about the reputation of God. We don't really think about what he's done for us. I mean, we owe him everything. We owe him absolutely everything. And yet, quite often, we just get caught up in our own little world of, you know, doing good every now and then, and the rest of it for ourselves. No, that's not the attitude to have. The attitude to have is, Lord, what will they have me to do? Help me to do it. You know, give me the strength, give me the power to do it. Not for the praise of men, but for the Lord. We need to consider what we're doing now. Is it building a strong foundation? Or is it being foolish and building on sand, putting things in the foundation that aren't going to help for the rest of our lives? Now, you young people, you've only got one opportunity now to build a good foundation for the rest of your life. Don't wreck it by bringing stuff in that later on down the track you say, I wish I'd never done that. Because you can't take those things back. You can't take them back. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, you know, I thought, you know, life was great, you know, came to church and did everything else. But I believe that there was periods of time, I don't know how long, maybe years, that I wasted I'm not doing enough for the Lord. Times that I thought, you know, just go with the flow, go to church, smile, be happy to everyone else, and, you know, if you have to say a word in season, think of something really quick because it has to be good. You can walk the walk, you can talk the talk. It's one thing to talk about it, there's nothing to live it and to walk it. You know, and I've been challenged myself, you know, just the last few months, of the lack of things that I'm doing for the Lord. And I'm trying by God's grace to rectify that. I'm trying to think more things for the Lord. But we need to examine ourselves, see what sort of Christian we really are. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, and we thank you, Lord, that it covers every aspect of our lives, Father. And Father, you've challenged me about a few things, Lord, and Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd have challenged all of us, Lord, to live our lives, Lord, so that we might bring glory and honour to you, Lord, not to do things in the flesh, but, Lord, be quick to give you the glory, Lord, for what you accomplish in our lives, Father, and pray, Lord, that one day when our works, Lord, are put on that through the fire, Father, that, Lord, our good works, those things that we've done, Lord, to glorify you, Lord, would outweigh those wood, hay and stubble things we've done, Father. And Lord, I pray you just work in each of our hearts and lives, Lord. And Father, I do pray that we might all learn something, and that, Lord, you might just help us, Lord, and give us the grace, Lord, to do what you'd have us do. We ask this in Lord Jesus' name. Amen.